has had a few people go on a little bit of a break, and I'm sure it's well deserved. So although they might be gone, I think we are at the right place this morning. Amen. Ooh, I've got one person agreeing with me this morning. Wonderful, wonderful. There's one person that wants to be. No, I'm kidding. I'm just pulling your guys' legs. I'm so excited to share with you guys something very, very, very special this morning and very, very exciting for us as church, because we are going to be speaking about missions real quick and introducing a little bit of our heart at Hillside with regards to missions. And we're going to be on a mission as a church to reshape, reinvigorate, and I think re-emphasize and emphasize how Hillside does missions and takes part in missions and supports missionaries and serves the Great Commission in the process. And I truly believe that one of the signs of a healthy, thriving church is that they support missionaries, because it expands and lifts our focus beyond these walls. It expands and it lifts our focus beyond this little building here, and it sets our gaze on everything outside of these walls. And not only outside of these walls, but outside of our town, outside of the country, outside of this continent. And I think it's a very, very, very special thing when a church starts supporting missionaries, because it helps all of us focus on spreading the gospel further than we find ourselves doing as a church. And in a very special way, we then not only meet the needs of missionaries that are out there in the front lines, but in a very special way, each and every one of us, through a healthy, thriving missions vision and implementation of how missions looks like in Hillside, has in a very special way a role in not only the winning of souls out there, but also impacting people's lives in other areas of the world that I bet we will never be able to go and tread our foot on those lands ourselves. So I can go on to tell you guys exactly why missions is important and exactly why we should be involved. But the bottom line is, I think it's important because Jesus commanded it, right? So those of you with your Bibles, go to Matthew 28, and on the 19th verse, 18th verse, we'll be reading. Just real quick, as we introduce and set up the stage, or set the stage for this morning and our heart. Matthew 28, 19, 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." It's the Great Commission. You guys know this by heart. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." And what an amazing encouragement from our Lord and Savior himself. What an amazing privilege to be able to spread the gospel. He trusts us with this. He trusts us with this here and now, where we are at. But then, apart from just trusting us with it here and now and calling us, each and every one of us, here and now, the Lord raises up people. He calls missionaries to go out and preach to all nations, all tribes, all tongues, people that we will not reach. Yes, where the rubber hits the road here in our lives, we definitely have got this commission, and it applies to us just as much as what it would apply to a missionary or an evangelist or whoever. Proclaim the gospel. That's a privilege. God trusts us with this. Proclaim the gospel. It's a message worthy of proclaiming. It's a message worth living for, worth dying for, as so many have done since the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and people have been following the Lord Jesus, and the church was born, as we have been going through and seeing in our journey through Acts. But I think the reason why we support those missionaries, why we support missionaries, is, as we have said, because they go where we don't go. They go to the tribes. They go to the tongues. They go to the nations. And in us supporting them, we get to share in a little bit of that mission, a little bit of that joy of seeing people come to know the Lord. That is why we support missionaries. Now, over the years, Hillside has been supporting missionaries, but the church has changed so much in this last year that I doubt that very many people know that. Who of you know, sitting here this morning, that we support missionaries? Just by show of hands. Deep in the 5, 6, 7 people, 8 people, 9 people, okay? There's a lot of people here that aren't aware of the fact that we have a heart for missions. And this is why it's so important to have these discussions and why we want to reinvigorate this and reignite this and shine a little bit of a spotlight on what we're doing and what our heart as church is. Because it's what the Lord commands us to do, right? So we're on a little bit of a mission this morning. And I think with Carol being here, there is no better morning to kick it off than this morning to shine a little bit of a spotlight on our missionaries. And we're also going to be taking in a few more missionaries that we're going to be introducing to you guys. And as we go, we as church are going to become way more missions focused than what we might have been in the past. I know that there were times in the past where, you know, it went well, and we had a load of missionaries, and due to COVID and, you know, all of these things that took place, our focus on missions has not shifted, but our ability and our capacity has become a little bit less. So we're going to look to reinvigorate and reignite all of that. And when we speak about missionaries, there's one thing that I want you guys to understand and hear and know as church, that we won't just be throwing money at people that we will never be hearing from. That's not our heart here at Hillside in the way we view missions and in the way we view supporting our missionaries. These will be people that we are not only going to get to know, but they're going to be people that are going to be coming to come and visit us. It's going to be people that are going to be telling us all about what they're busy with, where they are, and all of these things, and how we can be praying for them while we support them. These are people that are going to become part of the Hillside family. And this morning, we've got a very special privilege to have someone that's part of the Hillside family, a little bit of a homegrown missionary here from Hillside, sharing with us a little bit this morning. But we're not going to get there yet. Carol, are you okay? So hold on to your seat just a little bit. Little bit longer. So just so you know, when we think about missions, we as Hillside are not going to just be throwing money at a bit of a problem or whatever the case may be. We're going to be journeying with these people so that we can truly have our hearts invested where they are at. We're going to be getting to know their kids. We're going to be getting to know their wives, their churches, where they're at. And through the wonder of technology, as we bring more missionaries on board, we're going to be doing this in a very visible way this morning. And this morning, I've also got a little bit of a video that I want to show you guys. But just so you know what we've done so far, for those of you who have been wondering, we started a little bit of a missions fund not too long ago that's going to be acting like the Deacons Fund. Now, all of you guys know what the Deacons Fund exists for, right? The Deacons Fund exists so that we can help people that are struggling in the church. The Missions Fund exists so that we can help missionaries that might be in trouble, that might be experiencing emergencies and so on. So along with our Deacons Fund, we're going to be running our Missions Fund. We are yet to decide exactly how we're going to do it, whether you guys know on the first Sunday of every month, we have our Deacons Fund Sunday where you are able to give to the Deacons Fund. We will probably be splitting those up where instead of having a Deacons Fund Sunday and a Missions Fund Sunday, we're just going to have a Deacons and a Missions Fund Sunday, and whatever comes in, we'll be channeling and stewarding to both of these funds so that we can support people that are in need. And as you guys know, there are sometimes times where missionaries are going to be in dire need. Just like our members here. And because we are committing to bringing them on board and bringing them as part of the family, we're going to enact a little bit of a responsibility towards them as well as we love them and as we journey with them and as we not only invite them to be part of our church and a part of what we're busy with, but also we then get to see where the funds that are faithfully given are stewarded and directed towards, where our giving has an impact and a reach further than what we would ever realize. And I think there's a little bit of something about that that makes you just feel a little bit different about missions, knowing that as you faithfully give, your giving is reaching places and reaching people. It's going somewhere. It's not just being squandered. It's being stewarded to the glory of our King for the purpose of spreading the gospel and seeing Christ proclaimed. Now, we mentioned that we've got a bit of a treat, and Carol is that treat this morning. But before we kick off with Carol, I would like to introduce you guys to a very, very, very dear friend of mine that upped and left with his family. And they are missionaries in the Amazon. And I'm so looking forward to introducing him to you guys, not only here quickly this morning, but he's going to be visiting us in September as well, in the first week of September. And he's got a wild story. He's absolutely crazy. And I think you've got to be to up and leave with your whole family and head to a different country and minister to people in a... Oh. I missed that one. I'm sorry. So, I would like to introduce you guys to the Base family. And we just need some volume there. There we go. I think it's a massive privilege to have reach in places where we might never go. Seeing the gospel preached to people that we might never see on this side of eternity. Knowing that we as a church are involved in that just humbles me and kind of breaks my heart to know that we are trusted with something so big, so immense, so powerful, so wonderful. And that, yeah, we might not know the names of all of the converts there, but we'll see them. We'll have the privilege of seeing them. And, I didn't mean to get emotional this morning. That's why I believe missions is important, guys, as a church. And we'd like to invite you guys along as our family, as our church family, to get invested and to pray for these people. This is but one of the new missionaries that we're looking forward to taking on. And we've got a gentleman that is ministering in India as well that we made a connection with and that God sent to us in a very special way that we're looking forward to hopefully getting to support. There's an opportunity for us to minister and serve and help and come alongside another friend that I've got in Madagascar, there where the lemurs like to move it. And that's a little Madagascar joke for those of you who missed it. But there is so many opportunities, and I would love to see us as church reach out into all of these places, and not only there, but we've got Kenya as well with Brother Charles and his home church that we are going to be sending some money over to as well with their building projects that they're busy with, and I'm so excited to hear back from them, and very soon we'll be having a lot more of these videos to share with everyone so that you all know what they are busy with, how your heart and your prayers are being directed towards them, and what an impact they're making there, and what a role you are playing in that as well. And I think that's an amazing privilege. And with that said and done, I would like to invite Carol, please, come on over. You're so welcome to come and share what God has laid on your heart. Now, for those of you, yeah, let's give her a hand. For those of you who do not know, Carol is the daughter of a very, very, very beautiful lady in church, but I'm sure she'll tell us all about that as well and give us some stories so that we can, you know, just have fun with your mother here as well. Okay.
There we go, Carol. Thank you. I think she would die if I started telling stories. I don't want that, so... Okay, so I have to get rearranged here. Give me 1 second. Okay, so hi, good to see everybody. Very, very encouraged to be here, and wow, I wasn't sure who would be here because it is a holiday weekend, and I'm grateful. So thank you. Every missionary story is different. There are tons of different missions, and so this is just one of many. And since I don't know who all knows me well enough to know history, it's a little bit of history and a little bit of current. And so I hope this will be encouraging to you because I sure didn't expect to do what I do. Let's put it that way. So one of the things I'm just going to open and close with is Colossians 3, 12 through 14. It's actually my current organization's kind of our theme verse. And I will get into that later as far as what we do. But it's therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So I wanted to thank Hillside. You have been an extremely supportive church, not only prayer and encouragement, but financially. And it makes all the difference when you have a church that supports and stays involved. So thank you. Means a lot. My mom and I were talking the other day, and it's like, I think it's been 20, how many years did we figure? Since 97. 97, that will be, next year will be 30 years. Math is not my strong point. God calls us into different things. 30 years since God called me into missions, and I don't say that lightly, and I don't take that lightly. He has moved me around, and sometimes things I did not want to do. But he is greater than my plans, and he makes things work. So in 97, when I did start, I worked for Kelly Services Corporate, and I worked in payroll. I loved data entry. Boring, dull, but I loved it. It's always a challenge to do just a little bit better, be a little more accurate, whatever it is. And I loved my work. I had no interest whatsoever in leaving my work. When you finally find that job that you're like, ah, this is it, you're like, I'm never gonna leave. That's what I told God. Yeah. Yeah, that always works out well. So God moved me from one church to another. I lived in Oregon, and the second week that I was at that second church, the other church, a missionary came and spoke. And her name's Marilyn Laszlo. She's passed away since then, but she worked with Wycliffe. And I don't know what she said. Couldn't tell you to this day what she said, but God was laying it on my heart, and he said, this is what I want you to do. I'm like, yeah, that's a no. And he kept laying it heavier and heavier on my heart as she's talking, and I'm continuing to say no. Not the right person. Remember, I'm happy in doing what I'm doing. So by the end of the service, the pastor got up and he said, if anybody is called into missions today, right now, he's like, I want you to come forward and we'll pray for you. I'm like, great, altar call. And I said, I am not going up because I worked with high schoolers. You give an altar call, they come up. Next day, things are just back to normal. And I said, this is not a normal thing that was going on with me. I am not an emotional person like that. And this was, I was already crying. So I said, okay. I didn't go up. I was wrong, and I knew it. And nobody else went up that day. I thought, okay, interesting. So the gal that was sitting next to me, who I didn't know because it was a new church to me, she's like, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. I was just definitely not okay. And tried to explain it, and I think she just thought I was a crazy person. You know, who's called into missions? Only crazy people, of which we all are. I don't know if you knew that or not. Okay. So I left the service, and I picked up a little brochure as I went out, and I had that little card. You know how they do mission cards, and they're like, just fill out the information and send it in. So I took that, and I took it home. I talked to my best friend, who was also my coworker. She was my roommate. We ministered in church together with the high schoolers. Everything, yeah. She's an iron sharpens iron type of friend, and I explained what had happened, and she's like, if God has called you into this, then you had better go. I'm like, I don't think I like you as a friend anymore. So It's not true. I'll actually see her next weekend, but so, but you need people like that that can actually challenge you on those things and know that just because it's not how I feel isn't because that's what God has called me to do. So I was, like I say, I loved my job. I loved, I owed on a car. I loved where I lived. Oregon's pretty too. It's not Washington, but still it's good. But that was not enough to say no to God leading me into what he wanted me to do. But I said no. And, okay, so this, yeah, I'll try not to get too emotional, but I said no to God. And first time in 10 years since I became a Christian that I told him no. And that's not a wise idea, just putting it out there. And I felt such a distance from God at that time that I couldn't handle that. So it was about 3 days, not more than 3 days, and I finally said yes, because I can't handle this. I knew what I needed to do. And as soon as that happened, I had such a peace that I thought, great, now I'm in for it. Off to missions now, which I had no clue what to do about. And I told him, I said, this is, Wycliffe Bible Translators, their translation, they do linguistics. And I said, I don't do languages. And so I so I said, whatever happens, this is going to have to be on you because I have no talent in linguistics. And I think he was kind of like, yes, finally. And he's okay with that. Especially being in an organization at that time that is made up of tons of people who have doctorates in linguistics and all sorts of that type of stuff, that's not me. Tried Spanish in high school, after high school, after that, and more after that, and I still can't speak Spanish at all. Not a good thing for language learning if you're going to try to do something in linguistics. So anyways, I filled out that little card. I wrote it out, and I checked the back of it, and it said postage prepaid on the back of the card. You know, the little cards I'm talking about, and no postage necessary. And I shoved it into the mail, and I didn't hear back, so I thought, yay, it's not this. And then shortly after that, I got it back in the mail from the U.S. Postal Service, and they put it in an envelope and said, you didn't put postage on it. I'm like, seriously? I look again. Still, no postage necessary, postage prepaid, that type of thing. I'm like, So when you hear something like that, it's like, is this God saying, not Wycliffe? Or is this Satan saying, I'm going to discourage you, and this is going to stop you from going. You're not going to pursue this any further. You don't know. I didn't know. And so I thought, fine, I'll put the card in the envelope, put a stamp on it, mail it, and I shoved it in the little mailbox thing, and I thought, I told God, if I hear within a very short period of time, then I know this is you. If I don't hear back, then I know it's not the right direction. And within 2 days, I heard back from Wycliffe. They called me. I'm like, seriously? Oh, so yes, God did have that direction in mind, and that was okay. And so I left my work. I gave them three months' notice and trained somebody. And I started doing linguistic training, which I wasn't even part of Wycliffe yet. I'm just doing the training because I know that God is calling me into this. And after 11 months of training and then being accepted by Wycliffe, they said, you're not linguistic material, and you should pursue something other than linguistics. I'm like, really? It takes 11 months to figure this out? I mean, that's a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of resources to do for nothing. And so I went to a career counselor that Wycliffe has, and we worked on things. We did all sorts of assessments and tests and try to figure out where I actually need to be that can use whatever my talents were, because apparently it's not linguistics. And came up with outdoors manager. Anybody else kind of like, say what? Outdoors manager. And we were both a little shocked by that, because what in the world does that mean? We didn't really know. And so she's like, well, it has manager in the title. Let's put you through a management course at Wycliffe. Okay, fine, whatever. And so I started doing that management course. And during that time, I took a workshop in that course called Sharpening Your Interpersonal Skills. This is in 1999. And I thought, this is a really cool workshop. But then I just took the information, forgot about it. Not forgot the information, but forgot about the name of it, and went on. And then we had another part within this management thing, and it's called CHED, Children's Education. And during that time, they had a video that showed how a parent can feels how to, see, I wrote this down because I thought this is going to be hard for me to figure out how to rewrite. It's a video on learning disabilities, and it lets parents feel how their child feels in school, even if the parent doesn't have that disability. And so as I'm watching this, I start bawling, because I'm like, this is me. I saw myself in this, and it's called Central Auditory Processing Disorder, CAPD. Sorry, Ron, it's not COPD, but CAPD. And it's super hard to focus and to separate sounds. They'll kind of come in at the same level of sound. And so it takes a tremendous amount of focusing for me to separate and focus on just the person who's talking to me versus the fans, which most people don't even hear, but I do. And I thought, why did I need to know this? Well, this helped me learn what I needed, how I could learn best. And I thought, I wasn't really sure what to do with that, but then I thought, the linguistics that God was calling me into is called linguistic and social survey. So that is work that's done before you determine, usually done before you determine where to do a Bible translation in the world, within a people group, within a language group. And so doing that, I could hear the language, which is unwritten. I could hear it much clearer than most people could, and I can document it, and I could compare it with other similar languages or dialects. There's language is a whole different monster. But God showed me that this thing that was meant for bad, God meant for good. Again, something that I didn't think was going to be useful. He says, I've got it. I've got your plans. I think, what is it? Genesis 50:20. What Satan plans for evil, God means for good. And I held on to that. So I did language survey work for 7 years in Ethiopia and Nigeria. And The impact of those, I will never know. Because this, doing a translation, sometimes it can take years, it can take decades, who knows? And so the information that we provided for them to make good decisions, I may never know what goes on. I'm okay with that, because that's God at work. So in Nigeria, as I did the language survey work, I also was then called into doing HR work, human resources. And it was 80 plus staff, plus their families, that are very multicultural. And it was me plus one other person who worked half-time that managed that. And I enjoyed doing that. But during that same time, I had a health crisis. As many of you know, I was accidentally overdosed in Nigeria by amphetamine. I was supposed to have antihistamines, and instead they gave me amphetamines. And so that was 200 milligrams of amphetamines in 14 hours. And so by God's grace, I'm still here. And it has just been a very, very long healing and learning process and relearning for things in life. I am an open book when it comes to health issues. I'm an open book, just period. I'll just put it there. So over the years, while I was in different places, I've been to many other countries, but I didn't work there per se, that workshop that I took in the management course kept coming up. So I actually took that workshop 5 times. And I liked it every single time. And every single time there was a different part of it that I thought, oh, I didn't remember that from last time. Oh, this can be helpful this time. And who knew? So he kept on bringing it to me, and I kept on applying it more and more in my life. So in 2015, I came back from Nigeria, planning to come back on furlough, which is just a short leave, and then I would return back to Nigeria. But my health was not good. And by the time the end of that year, things weren't good. Those of you who know me here, I was here during that time, and it was very challenging. For me and for anybody around me, like my mom. Sorry. So Wycliffe at that time, they really didn't have a clue what to do with a single person who is very ill. And so they said, well, we've got a job for you. You can do HR that includes immigration, writing job descriptions, and conducting personnel evaluations. And I said, those are the 3 things that I would try to get rid of when I was doing HR in Nigeria. Why would I start a job with the 3 things I hate? And I said, this is my time to leave. God was over that whole year, was kind of weaning me away, saying, I have a different plan for you. So I canceled my training that I had signed up for to become a facilitator for this workshop. I canceled that via email. And I said, you don't happen to have a job available, do you? It's missions. So I know it's going to be a supportive, like faith support job. And they wrote back and they said, yes, we do. I'm like, oh, okay. So we talked, we looked into it, and I said, this is what God has for me. And they were willing to work with my health, which in January of 2016, when I started with them, I maybe could work 5 hours a week. Even at that would cause me to crash. And it just wipes me out completely. There's those who've had crashes, they know there's just not really a good explanation for it, except you can't do anything. So January 2016, I started with International Training Partners, who are the ones who created this workshop. They're the ones who manage this workshop now, called Sharpening Your Interpersonal Skills. And I knew I couldn't stay up here, even though I love Washington. I could not stay in Washington because there were too many needs that I would be called to, and I would, when you're crashing or in a constant state of this crashing, you have no energy, I needed to be away. And so God provided a place of rest for me in Coolidge, Arizona. And he provided a house. That's a whole nother story as well. I got lots of little stories, but yeah. And my mom also moved the same year. So I kind of felt like that broken prophet, Elijah. God took him away. He provided food, he provided rest, and he didn't just leave him at that. He says, I'm doing this because I got a plan for you. I got bigger plans. I'm like, oh, isn't this big enough? But he said, no, I've got bigger plans for you. So it has been a place of healing. It's been a tremendous amount of healing. I would not be able to do what I'm doing now if it were not that rest that he provided there. So with International Training Partners, I work on administration. There's an info email that I manage. I edit and reformat documents. I help others organize workshops around the world. And I coordinate and facilitate workshops as well. I coordinated 2 workshops, which means kind of I'm making sure that everything is happening correctly, coordinating. And I facilitated, so I've done that twice, and then I facilitated 7 workshops up to this past January. I hadn't facilitated because of COVID, and I have not traveled because of COVID. Not currently, but just the health issues with that. So I did do a workshop in January this year, which I was super excited about, and it went well, and I did not crash, which was amazing, because these workshops are not small. It's not just a 3-hour workshop and off you go. This is 5 days long. They usually start on a Sunday evening, and they go until Friday afternoon, all day long. And so as a facilitator, you're facilitating almost all day long. There are 4 of us, but we do take pairs, but it still is a lot of work to do that. So the workshop was actually created by a missionary for missionaries. And it was a Wycliffe missionary who started it, and he said he was a counselor. He's late now. But he said there are too many missionaries who leave the field. When you leave the field, there's a lot of cost involved. And I'm not talking just money, but there are friendships that are broken. There are relationships that are broken. There is work that is broken. And he said, why not meet that where they work instead of bringing them back to their home countries? A lot of times the US, UK, South Korea, you name it. And instead, why don't we go to them and provide the tools to have a Bible-based relationship skills workshop? That it affects a lot of different things. There's listening, drawing people out, conflict, confrontation, helping others solve problems, encouragement, grieving, moral purity, trust, living in community, stress, margin, and there's more than that, but those are the main things. That's what's in that 5 days of a workshop. And so we do it in an adult active learning style, which I'm not doing today. But it, you know, when you do the adult active learning style, you're engaging audio, video, reading, writing, demonstrations, and touch. And so we try to use people's real situations in their lives as missionaries, or now it's available to any Christ follower, because the more that it means to them, the more that they can apply this workshop to them, the more they will change things in their life and see the differences in that. Like one of the workshops we did, a lady had insisted that the workshop would not help her and her 13-year-old daughter. And she said, nothing helps a 13-year-old with this. But they had been having problems for a lot of years. And so she worked on that in the workshop, and she went home and she tried that with her daughter. She came back the next day and she said, I can't believe it worked. So she had a different relationship with her daughter because of how she addressed things differently, looking at scripture, looking at what she did, and how to change that to something different. She was an avoider, and then she was a confronter, explosive confronter. Who responds well to that? Not too many people. So, and her daughter did not. So she was able to switch that around, see, this is what I grew up with. I don't have to keep doing that just because I grew up with that. So another friend of mine worked on a demonstration with me. We have one called Helping Others Solve Problems. And I like it. It's fun. But my friend had a problem, and so we did it in front of a group. And we're just talking back and forth. And she finally gets to a resolution and said, this is the next step that I can take. So we prayed about it. She went home. And the meeting was that night that needed this helping others solve a problem. The meeting was that night. And she texted me later on that night, and she said, you wouldn't believe what happened. I'm like, what? She was totally scared of doing this, not a confronter, and it wasn't necessarily confronting. But she said, the gal made, even though I was ready to do that, and I was in a good place to be able to do that, the other gal made that same offer and made that problem work out correctly. Everybody was happy. You know, sometimes it's just bringing your own stress level down from a situation, and so that's part of what we did as well. It's always encouraging when you see changes. So these workshops, I love them. Currently, we have a lot going on in India, in Pakistan, in South America. Not so many in the U.S., just because there's not a request for it. One going on in Africa. I can't remember exactly where. But we have them where they're needed. And that's the joy of this. We go there. They don't have to all come to the U.S., come to the U.K., come to wherever. We find where the need is. So in addition to the workshops, my time with Wycliffe, my international training partners, and God has put me back into Bible study fellowship as well. And that was a little bit of a surprise. I was not expecting that. And last time I was in Bible study fellowship was in the 90s, early 90s. But in 2023, he put me back into a study, and then he had me be a group leader for a couple years, and then this year he has had moved me into a trainer of group leaders. And so it's been something that I also told God. I said, I love to facilitate, but I will never, ever teach. You notice a pattern with God. It's like whenever you say, I will never, ever, he's like, what do you mean by never, ever? Like, never. But he has changed that, and he has brought the ability to be able to teach in that, and I'm super grateful for that. And so this next year we'll have probably about 30 leaders in our leaders group, and about six Bible study fellowship groups that we will be overseeing. So it's a lot. But God has been using that to heal my brain. It's amazing when you do these things, how much it activates your brain and it keeps things going. And so I'm grateful for that, because I did have a lot of problems with the health issues as far as brain. Overdoses cause traumatic brain injury. Yeah, there's just so many ways that God has been using me, and that's in a good way. And I just encourage you that if he is wanting you to do something, just because you don't have the talent, don't think that that's not still him calling you to do something, because he can change you through that. Again, I am an open book, so if anybody has questions later on, but Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another, and if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, thank you.
Well, thank you, Carol. I think that it's an amazing story. The fact that, I know you guys have heard it said that God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. I want to change that a little bit. God doesn't just call the qualified, but he always qualifies the called. And I think that that's something that we definitely see here. And the thing that I want you guys to hear that is such a blessing, Carol's very uniquely positioned to not only equip people to be missionaries in their own where they're, you know, their own circle of influence and their spheres of influence, where they move, but she has got a very important task to serve missionaries as well. So her mission is to get them healthy and keep them healthy, because all of us go through things. All of us end up experiencing things somewhere along the line that get you hurting, get you broken, and all of that. And I am so thankful that God raises up people like you, Carol. So thank you for sharing a little bit of your story and your heart and just what God is busy doing in and through you as well. And we rejoice to know that we come alongside you, and we've got that privilege to be able to come alongside you and be a part of what you're busy with, even though it's a very small part of what you're busy with. It's an honor and a privilege. So thank you so much. And we'd like to bring an end to our call and end to our service and our time together here. But I want you guys to really be praying with us as leadership, as we bring along more missionaries, as we direct what God is busy blessing us with, so that we can be faithful stewards of just all of his blessings. And I'm so excited about that. And hopefully this will lead to, I know that not all of us might want to go to the Amazon, or might want to go to Africa, or might want to go to Madagascar, or wherever the case may be, and India, but there will hopefully be opportunities to do stuff like that for those who would like to, all because we have influence, we've got family, and we've got Hillside family in those various areas. So if you're adventurous, I think one of the things that Glenn mentioned as well that they're praying for is that God would raise up fishermen to help catch the fish. For the harvest is plenty. There's a big harvest, but the workers are few. So, maybe this inspires something in someone here to join the mission field. So if that's something that we can do as well, we'd love to be a part of that journey too. So all of this to say, what a privilege it is to be entrusted with this glorious message of the gospel that we have the privilege to proclaim. It's a message that we are most proud to proclaim, to live for, and need be, if the circumstance calls for it, to die for. With that in mind, Uncle Mike, I would like to invite you up to just have a special prayer for all of those who have gone before us, remembering their sacrifice on this amazing weekend as well. All of those who have served and who have given their lives and paid the ultimate price so that we might have these amazing freedoms that we do. Amen.
A few minutes ago, Tarek leaned over to me and told me he was going to call me up to say a few things. And I didn't quite hear everything he said, so this might be a little disconnected, but our theme today is missionaries, and we supported Carol for a long time, and her mother, Joyce, going back, this church got started 70 years ago this past March, and today, the third Sunday of May, marks my 67th year in this church, and Joyce has been here almost that long, and my point is that missionaries who we have always tried to support go out and go places and sometimes have to live in desperate situations. But maybe 25, 30 years ago, a missionary went to South Africa and impressed a young man to follow the Lord and get involved and start a church. And in this church, desperately needing a new pastor and someone who could shepherd to people's needs from halfway around the world, he sent us Tarek and his beautiful wife and family, and this all starts with missionary work. And I thank you, all your missionaries, the people, whether you're in town here or going around the world. You guys, fantastic work. Anyway, yeah, give them a hand. Anyway, this is a holiday weekend, Memorial Day, and we're celebrating and remembering people who have served this country in the military and beyond, and some gave the ultimate sacrifice. Hundreds of thousands of people, and it's a shame that we have to have conflicts and wars and killing each other off to try to get along, but that just seems to be the way man thinks, and the thing that just tears at me are the children who are caught up in these conflicts. Young kids who will never have any other memories but how they lived through death-defying days, not enough to eat, not enough clothes to wear, no place to live, losing their parents, losing their brothers and sisters. So with that, I'm going to start a prayer here and thank the Lord that we can belong to him. In the days that aren't so good, we can think of him and know we belong to him, and all of a sudden turn a dark day into a fabulous day. Anytime you're down in the dumps, take a minute and think about what that means and what it's like to know that one day things will be great. No matter how bad they get on this earth, one day we're going to a great place. And Lord, we thank you for all the men and women who are in service today in this country, and for those who are home, away from home for the first time and could be running scared. It's a frightening thing, Lord, and I just pray that we have people who are willing to step up and do this, Lord, and I would pray that our leaders would try something besides conflicts to iron out the problems. But most of all, Lord, I thank you for this church, and this my spiritual ground zero for most of my life, Lord, and I thank you for it. You have blessed this church again and again and again and the people in it, and we will continue to worship and thank you for what you are in our lives. And we thank you for the music and the people who perform it, all the people who work so hard to keep this place in shape. We thank you all, and may you have a safe weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.